A good night of Shabbos. Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha talks about Avram Avinu. It's important to remember that whether you think about it or not enough, and I don't think anyone in the world thinks about it enough, but Avram Avinu was actually your grandfather. He was actually the person you come from. If you were able to see on a genetic test, right now a genetic test cannot go that far, but if they were able to actually do a great genetic test and you were able to go into Mars Machpelah, Chas V'Shalom, dig up the bones of Avram Avinu and do a genetic test, it would come out, he's your father, he's your grandfather. Yitzchak Avinu, he's your grandfather. My wife likes to say, Zal Gesund sein, that she once had a teacher, maybe second or third grade, happens to be the same teacher taught my daughter in Lakewood. But this teacher came in one day, and she says to the class, I get a huge mazel tov. A huge mazel tov? I get a huge mazel tov. What's the huge mazel tov? My bubby had a baby. Your bubby had a baby? Your grandmother had a baby? Yes, I get a huge mazel tov. Wow, all the kids are like, wow, they never heard of grandmothers have babies. Okay, it happens. A grandmother has a baby. Yes, my grandmother had a baby. Wow, and they're all singing Simita, and she stops the singing. Wait, I have to tell you something else. And she was 90 years old. 90 years old, they're all going crazy. 90 years old, your grandma, 90, she had a baby, and her husband was 100, what? And then, of course, one or two started figuring out, talking about Avram and Sarah, your great grandparents, your grand, okay. Next week's parasha, but they had a baby. That was actually your great grandparents, Yitzchak, Yaakov. This is actually where you come from. One of the most important things that we know about Avram Avinu is that Avram Avinu was the man of Chesed. He's the man of Chesed. He's known as the Baal Chesed. Most. The best way that this was described is, of course, next week's parasha, also parasha Vayera. We talk about what does Avram do in parasha Vayera? He has the guests. Thank you, Chaim. He has guests. He has guests, and he does it in an incredibly amazing way. I was curious. I was very, very curious. If Avram Avinu is the man of Chesed, then I feel like most of the stories that we know about Avram Avinu should be real chesed stories about taking care of the poor, taking care of the downtrodden. You go through the parasha, I don't really see that. I see Avram Avinu, the traveler. I see Avram Avinu, the believer. I see Avram Avinu going to take care of himself, give me gifts a little bit. I see Avram Avinu asking Hashem, am I really going to have children? Okay, there is a portion over here. I see Avram Avinu, there's a war between the four and the five kings. He gets involved to save his nephew. I don't know. I don't know if that one really hits me. The Avram Avinu of Chesed. Okay, Avram does go to war. Right? End of the parsha. Avram Avinu. Bris Ben Abisarim. Avram Avinu. Hagar. Avram Avinu kicking his son out of the house. Okay. Avram Avinu. I don't really know where I see the Avram Avinu of Chesed so much in this week's parasha. And it's a big parasha. Yeah, how many psukim are in this week's parasha? 126 psukim. 126 psukim in this week's parasha. And I don't really find tons of the Chesed of Avram Avinu. Where is my Chesed? And of course, if you would have paid attention last night to the parasha plate, I'm sure you would have been able to understand this parasha on a much more elevated level. I want to say a thought. I was really bothered by this. I decided last night I'm going to sit down and go through Svar. I'm going to really try to see the chesed of Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha. It didn't take too much. It was the first sefer I opened up. I decided to open up a sefer. It wasn't Rashi this time. But I decided to open up a sefer. Sefer is called Imrei Chaim, not the Imrei Chaim of Vizhnitz. Imrei Chaim from Rav Chaim Kamil. Rav Chaim Kamil, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, was not very well known. But many, many years ago, I was Zecher Gavriel to go to the shiurim of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the Shiva Mir Yeshiva, Mir Yushalayim. And I went on Erev Shabbos, used to give a chumash here. And by that chumash here, I myself did not learn in the Mir Yushalayim. And I used to sit literally right next to him, in the chair right next to him. If you knew Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, you heard of him. Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel had terrible Parkinson's, shaking wildly. And famously, he didn't want to take the medication that would have limited the shaking because it had cognitive effects that affected his mind. And he didn't want to have anything that affected his mind. And he would be shaking constantly during shiurim, when he was talking, all the time he'd be shaking. Sometimes he had to lie down. Even lying down, he'd be shaking, but he couldn't stand up. He's a big, tall man. And it was my zechus that I had the seat right next to him on his left side. So his chair, he could hardly sit in a chair. I used to put my foot behind his chair, me on one side, another guy on the other side. We used to put our feet there in order not for his chair to fly back while he was speaking. I was sitting there, and he would say shiurim, and often the shiurim were from his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Kamil. Chaim Kamil. He had a Rebbe, of course, other Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim Stajino, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, but Rav Chaim Kamil. And I didn't know the Sefer. One time I go to this farm, so I see a Sefer in Rav Chaim. I take it off. It's Rav Chaim Kamil. That Sefer, I had heard shiurim from Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, one of the great gedolim of our time. Over there, I opened it up, and he answered the question. Where is the Avram Avinu of Chesed? What does Chesed mean to us? Perhaps, Gavriel, what Chesed means to you, what Chesed means to somebody else, Chesed means to you, I see somebody hurting, and I want to take care of that person. I see someone missing something, I want to fill up that loss. I see somebody feeling down in the dumps, I want to go out of my way to raise that guy up. And the truth is that very well could be a form of Chesed, but often, in Sfarim, Bali Musar say, that often we think it's Chesed, but it's not really Chesed to the other person. It's a very nice thing to do, but it's not necessarily Chesed for the other person. And even, the Gemara says, that the Chesed of non-Jews, Chesed le'umim chatas, the Chesed of non-Jews is often a sin, because they're not doing it for the other person. They're doing it for themselves. When you see someone in pain, are you so sure that you're taking care of that person because he needs help? Or are you taking care of that person because it hurts you? It hurts you to see someone in pain like that. And although that's very nice and it's special that you actually have a sensitivity for what someone else is going through, but sometimes when you're helping him, you're really just trying to avoid the cost of therapy. You don't want to have to go to therapy in order to pay for this feeling to go away from you. You want to be able to get a quicker fix. And by helping somebody else, it takes away the feeling of hurt that I have. Again, definitely do it. But it's important to recognize the source of your chesed sometimes is selfishness. Not selfishness like some people, which is also respectable, where a person wants to do chesed because he's going to be honored by a yeshiva dinner, or there's going to be a plaque up for him, which also, totally fine. It's not that chesed, but it is the chesed of giving because it hurts me. I want to help you because it helps me. That is not the Jewish chesed. It's very important, and it's a very good thing to do, but it is not our elevated level of Jewish chesed. Our Jewish chesed is Avram Avinu. What is Avram Avinu? Says Rav Chaim Kamil, Rav Avram Avinu's chesed was, I want to fix the whole world. I feel a responsibility upon myself that everything in this world must be fixed. Why am I fixing this whole world? Why am I fixing? Not because I need something. I could live a very happy. I'm a very wealthy person. I do just fine for myself. He was going to live to 175. He had another 100 years to go. He's doing fine. I'm fixing the whole world because that's what Hashem wants me to do. That's what the world needs, and it's not for me. I'm a Baal Chesed because I'm Achroi. I'm responsible for everything else. I have no expectation of anything in return. I have no expectation. He says this from an Akedah. Akedah is an old sefer. The Akedah says that when Avram finishes the war with the four and the five kings, he deals with everybody by himself, him and Eliezer, they deal with everything by themselves, and 318 people, they deal with everything by themselves. When they finish this war, Avram is offered the spoils. Avram is offered a whole lot of money. And the king of Sodom comes to him and says, take some money. So Avram says, like Eli pointed out this morning, that Avram says, I don't want a string, I don't want a strap. I don't want anything. And you will not say, Ani hesharti es Avram, I made Avram rich. You won't say you made Avram rich. So Rashi says, Loi Soimer, you shouldn't say, Shekadosh Baruch Hu yivtichani lo'ashrini, shenemar, etc. Hashem already promised to make me rich. You don't need to make me rich. It's like Rashi's pshat is, a guy comes up to you and he offers you some money. I'd like to take care of you. No. I'm good. I'm already taken care of. I'm okay. Right? There's a very famous story with our wonderful president. Before he became president, everyone knows this story. Anyone who's alive a good amount of years ago, they know this story. Trump was once on highway. There was a story that said it was Trump. But he's driving down a highway, and the limo breaks down. He's on the side of the road. The driver comes out, and the driver's trying to fix it. He doesn't know what to do. And it's on the Garden State Parkway. So a Yid going to Lakewood pulls over to the side of the highway, sees someone broken down. He says, what's the problem? And the driver says, I'm trying to figure it out. I can't figure it out. The Yid says, I'll help you out. He goes, looks, okay. He figures the whole thing out. You know, he has a 1925 Lincoln Town car. So, of course, he knows how to put a car back together. Easy. He takes the limo. He puts it back together. Everything good. So the driver says, I really like to thank you. No. Yeah, I don't need to thank you. So the driver goes back to the car, and he quickly runs to this Yid. He says, the guy in my car, he wants to speak to you for a moment. I'm really fine. He wants to speak to you. Okay, lower the window, and this guy with this interesting looking hair and orange skin, says, and no offense, Chas V'Shalom, we don't stop the president, but this guy says to the Yid, the guy in the car says to the Yid, I'd really like to thank you. How much could I pay you for this? This is really so kind of you. We were stuck here. So he says, I don't need it. I did it for the chesed. I did it for kindness. This is what we do. I did it for kindness. So the guy in the car says, I understand. Sure, we can do an invitation for us later. I understand. I get it. I just want to say thank you. Give me your address and I'll send some flowers. I'll send some flowers to your wife to say thank you. What's your address? So he says, fine. Writes it on a card. He gives it to the guy in the car. And the guy says, thank you. Thank you very much. I want to thank you again. Okay, bye. And he goes home. Fine. That is Tuesday. Friday comes, Erev Shabbos comes, there's a knock at the door. Okay, Erev Shabbos, there's a knock at the door. He goes to the door, he opens it up, and what does he see? Not one person, not two people, not three. 10 people carrying hundreds of roses. Hundreds of roses with a card. He sees this card, opens it up. He said, with his name, I don't know, Ebzelig, I just wanted to thank you again for taking care of me on the side of the road. It was so special. This is my gift to you. I just paid off your mortgage. I paid off your mortgage, signed Donald Trump. That's how he signed it. Did the Yid want anything? It is a classic oldie of a story many years ago. Did the Yid want anything in return? Nothing. Now, why did he not return? So Rashi says, you can't say, Ani Esharit Yisavram, because Hashem's going to make me rich. Not you, not the Malach Sadaim. But the Sefer Akedah says something very different. What he says is that no matter what you give me, it won't be making me rich. You can never make me rich. You know why you can never make me rich? Because the currency, the value that I put on things is different than the value you put on things. For me to be a rich person is not the same thing that makes you into a rich person. For you to be a rich person, I don't know, 1 million, 100 million, 1 billion, I remember there was a boy in yeshiva by us, and my Rebbe came over to his father. His father's a very, very wealthy man. So he came to his father, he said, your son is worth $1 million. So the father said, that's it, just $1 million. So maybe said, $1 billion? $1 billion is a good amount. Okay, $1 billion. Right? Some people, $1 million is not enough. To be rich, that's for the king of Sodom. This number, that number, whatever your number is. I always like to say, who's the poorest person in the world? Who's the poorest person in the world? Right? Either Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, what are these guys? Elon Musk. They're all the poorest people in the world. Why are they the poorest people in the world? Why are they Warren Buffett? He's the best guy because he gets to have ice cream every day. But why are these guys the poorest guys in the world? Because me, what am I missing in my life? I want to be rich. What am I missing? If only I had another $1 million, I could be a rich person. That's all I want, $1 million. So I am in the red for $1 million. That's all I need. I need $1 million. But Jeff Bezos, you know what he wants? He wants to be the first trillionaire, and he's only worth $200 billion. He's down in the red $800 billion. Nebuch, the poor guy. He's so poor. He needs $800 billion. So again, the king of Sodom, when he was looking at what makes me rich, Money, 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 money. They say people like three things. What is it? Money, geld, and kesef. They like all the good stuff. Everybody likes it. Money, geld, and kesef. That's what you need. That's what makes the king of Sodom rich. When it comes to Avram, that isn't what makes me rich. That's not my currency. You can give me all that you want, but that's not my currency. It'll never make me rich. It won't work. What makes me rich is that I'm here taking care of the world. And if I am here fixing what Lloyd needs, fixing what the four kings need, the five kings need, to bring Kiddush Hashem back into the world, I leave my land, I go to Eretz Canaan, I go there, my whole life, my bris milah, everything Avram Avinu does, it's about what can I do to take care of this world. That's how I wake up in the morning, that's how I go to sleep at night. You could never make me rich because that's not what I'm looking for. That's not my currency. That's not what's valuable to me. I was learning with one of my dearest friends this week. We were learning a Chashuva Sefer. And the Chashuva Sefer said, certain people, Torah and mitzvahs doesn't do it for them. That's because their currency is materialism. If your currency is materialism, it's hard to get a geshmak out of Netzach Nitzachim, things that are eternal, things that are forever. When you things that you value are things that are here today, gone tomorrow. I like apples, but you know what? If I took one bite out of that apple, it wouldn't be good in an hour. It'd be gone. That's what money is like. It's not valuable. If your things that you value is here today, gone tomorrow, so then it's very hard to get a geshmak in learning in mitzvahs. But if you want to have something that gives you a value forever and ever and ever, then you'll love it. You'll grab into it. You'll have a super duper geschmack. This week I had someone in my office, a super, super incredible superstar. Where do you find incredible superstars? Only in Orish Lomo. A super, super, superstar in this yeshiva. He said something of such great value, and I was thinking about it a lot. He said, if you want to change, you need to find something in your life that is more important, that is great and valuable. Otherwise, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. You'll never transform yourself. You'll never change. You'll never develop. If it's more important for you to sleep today and every single day, you'll never become anything. Because it's not important. If a guy wants to go to the gym, but it's not important for him to have big biceps and abs and all that, and he doesn't look in the mirror enough times, then don't go to the gym because it's not important to you. It'll never work. You'll be there for just a few hours once, and that's it. You'll never do it every single day of the week. There are people who go to the gym right here in Arizona. They stay here for 2 hours every single day because it means something to you. If it doesn't mean anything to you, you'll never spend time on it. By Avram, what meant something to him was, I got to take care of the world. I wake up in the morning, I'm a man of chesed. Not for me, for all of you, for the whole world, for the Eibishter. I'm doing it for the whole entire world. I want to fix everything. I want to wake up. So you tell me, okay, whoa. Avram Avinu wakes up and he wants to take care of everyone. That sounds like too much for me. I want to say two things. First of all, I want to do things. He's your grandfather. If it's not too much for him, it's in your bones, it's in your guts. You have it inside of you. One of the great leaders of the Jewish people is Ramat Tzio, Salman Zecher Tzadik Livracha. A Yid, a boy, a Bacher, who was learning in Lakewood Yeshiva. He is in the Yeshiva. He had to go to an appointment somewhere else in New Jersey. He goes on a drive in New Jersey. And he's driving. He sees on the side of the road what looks like a shul. Now it's in a weird place in New Jersey to have a shul. So he goes to check it out. He goes inside. To make a longish story short, turns out that this place is not an Orthodox shul. It is a Reformed temple. It looks like it. And he asks the person who works there, how many people are in this temple? And they say, 300 families every Shabbos. 300 confused people every Shabbos? How could it be? Turns the car around, drives 30 minutes back to Lakewood, goes to Ramat Tzio, and he says to Ramat Tzio, how could it be? 30 minutes from Lakewood, there are 300 families that go to a Reformed temple, and we just let it be? We just let it happen? How can that be? And Ramat Tzio says to him, you should know. It's strange that this bothers you. That's it. You should know. It's strange that it bothers you. It doesn't bother everybody who passes that. It doesn't bother maybe anybody who passes it. It's strange that it bothers you. But if it bothers you, it means it's something you have to do something about. You have to take care of it. If it bothers you, you have to take care of it. It's your job now. You have to do something. So step one is, if something bothers you, you see things, you see a problem. You know, you see something, say something. If you see a problem, don't say something. Do something. Be like Avraham Avinu. There are issues out there that need to be fixed. You know somebody in yeshiva who maybe is not doing so great right now. You know somebody in yeshiva who needs help. You know somebody in your block. You know somebody in your shul. You know somebody you met by a bar mitzvah who needs help. Who needs something in their life. You know your mother needs some help. You can't be like an Avraham Avinu. I'm here to help everyone. If it bothers you, and it should bother you, and if it bothers you, then it means that you've got to do something about it. That's my first point. My second point is this. When I was in sixth grade, I had a Rebbe. His name was Rebbe Yidel. He should live in Biwa. He was a very, very special person. Until this day, I have an image of the way that he davens in front of me. Like this, with total focus. He was davening. And in sixth grade, I was so fortunate. I got to watch him daven. And it really is, until this day, I'm telling you, I have the same image of that person davening in front of me. Powerful. He gave us a sticky note. And we put it inside our siddur. We were given mitzvah siddurs in sixth grade. He gave us a sticky note and he put it inside of our siddur. And he said, there's a bracha, it's called Rifa'enu. And if you look in every single siddur, there's a spot in that bracha that you could daven for people. Daven for people who are sick. You could open up this siddur. And it's brought right here in the Mishnah Berurah. Yachal le'espal al-chilim Rifa'enu. You could daven for someone who's sick. You know what that means? Every single tefillah, every single day, every single time you say Shemona Esrei during the week, you have a doctor's visit with doctor's powers. And you say someone's name there. I'm not saying say 10 names. You know somebody who's not feeling well. Guys in the class came over to me, Lior Avraham ben Ziva. I've been davening for him every single day since I heard that. Every single day. You have a place in your siddur to daven for someone. Why waste the chance? You're a doctor. You're a doctor with medicine. It's Rifa'enu. It's more powerful than what doctors do in their offices. You have an opportunity to save someone's life. There's a girl, I've been davening for her, I don't know, is it 16 years now, 14? I don't even know who she is. I just know that there people are still asking. Chayamalka Bas Bas Sheva. I don't know who she is. I've been davening for her for 15 years straight. All I know is that she's still alive. The people you could daven for. You have somebody in mind. And say it in that spot in the siddur. Have an achrayus for Klal Yisrael. Have an achrayus for the world. Don't miss the chance. If you had a medicine and there was somebody out there who needed it, wouldn't you have the heart to give it to him? Of course you would. You guys are special, incredible people. You'd run around the world to give it to a person to be able to give it to them. You would. Don't miss the chances to be like Avraham Avinu. When you get into Shemona Esrei, you sit down and you say to yourself, I'm going to be like Avraham Avinu right now. Rifa'inu Hashem v'ne'erfei, yiratzayin shetishlach mehe refu shalem, right over there. You're going to say it, and you're going to say it for those people. You're going to have in mind, when you hear a name from now on, don't just walk past the sign. Pay attention to the names. Use the opportunity. And by doing that, we'll be taking care of the world. We'll be the richest people. And nobody will be able to say, Ani Asharti, as you, or you, or you. Be'ez Hashem, you should have a beautiful Shabbos. You should have a Shabbos full of happiness, and health, and simchas, and chalent, and kugel.